come to the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. In the opinion of some, chapter 16 is kind of a catch-all, but like the end of any letter, Paul just has a lot of extra things to say. And we have, in my opinion, something approaching a chiasm at the end of the book in this chapter. It's a strange place for one. And can any of you tell me what a chiasm is? It's got the Greek letter chi or chi in it. Oh, Brad just made the X. It is the Greek letter X. And what it means is if you have an element here, you know, you have four words, let's say. One here, one here, one here, and one here. Element number one corresponds to element number four. And number two corresponds to three. And if you draw a line between them all, they make a kind of an X shape. And it's much more common in the Old Testament to find these things, but they are in the New Testament in various places. And probably the most famous one is, I think, is the end of the book of Isaiah, the last 27 chapters, Isaiah 40 to 66, are a gigantic chiasm with themes and talking points running throughout. Although another one is the entire book of Song of Solomon, which is a huge chiasm, which even has turns of phrase that recur later on in a very carefully crafted poem, which really tells you that Song of Solomon is not a collection of love poems, but a very carefully crafted, divinely inspired work about a husband's life for his wife, husband's love for his wife, and God's love for the church as well. Well, here in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, I think we might have something like a chiasm. In my outline here, I have given you seven Roman numerals. Number four is the centerpiece. And if you look at number four, it's the basics of Christian life. And then that's bordered by points three and five, which talk about service in various kinds. Then there are some kind of generic travel plans or greetings around there. And as the sandwich gets out to the end, you have something about giving gifts and a last word to the lost and to the saved. It kind of collapses there. But as I said, it isn't a definite chiasm, but it seems to approach one. And there's sometimes something to be said for that. But this is the outline of the chapter that we have here. And I'm just going to get into it now. Plans for a collection and travel plans. Now, Paul says, concerning the collection for the saints, do as I directed the churches in Galatia to do. So the Corinthians were aware of Paul's letter to the Galatians, which was written earlier. And Paul had told the Galatian churches about this collection. Now, does anybody know anything about this collection and why it was going on? Yes, specifically because of a famine. It seems as if sometime here in the early or mid-50s AD, there was a famine in Israel, and Jerusalem was hit very hard, and the people were very hard up. And so Paul was going around to the Corinthians and others asking for donations to help the Jerusalem congregation. And you see here that is a sparkling clean offering plate. And I kind of think that those bills just came off the press. They look really good. And I can detect there a one, another one, and I think that's a five going in. So I hope that's the very first pew. But welcome. And I asked questions this morning, just nonsense things about how many portraits of Lincoln are there in American currency. But that's just silly, so I won't. Well, it's three. So anyway, front of the penny, front of the $5 bill, back of the $5 bill in Lincoln's memorial. But there used to be four because the penny had the Lincoln Memorial also. But now that's a different emblem. There's a shield or something back there now. So there's we're short of Lincoln. Bothers me. That's just me. Okay, I'll just go on. They're the same number of U.S. grants, so I'm okay with that. All right. On the first day of every week, what day is the first day of the week, Jameis? Sunday. Very good. I was looking up my 2021 calendar this morning, and I noticed several versions of the business calendar give what as the first day of the week? Monday. Drives me crazy because it's wrong. And therefore, I can if somebody gives me that kind of a calendar for Christmas, I'm wrong all year because I don't look at the date on the day on the top. I look at what's the fourth day, and that should be Wednesday. And oh no, it's Thursday on this kind of a calendar. So usually I file them. First day of every week, each of you is to set something aside in keeping with whatever he gains, saving it up at home, so that when I come, no collections will need to be carried out. Paul wants them to save up their money and bring it on the first day of the week. What happens on the first day of the week? We give offerings. Where? In church. And they did too. So that hasn't changed. That's been around for a very long time. And Paul wants them to do it in keeping with their income and regularly so that they don't have to have a big scramble. And with regard to giving a little often is far better than giving a lot once in a while, because giving something often gets you into the regular rhythm, the regular routine of giving offerings. I've said this before, but I learned about giving from my wife, because the way she did it was on the first day of the month, she would get the envelopes for those four or five Sundays, write out the checks, put the checks in the envelopes, and leave those on top of the bread maker, which is where we, in those days, kept our offerings. For those of you potential thieves out there, I moved that. So I think they believed me. Okay. But then we bring those in. And then, of course, there's the Saturday night putting out the envelopes for the four boys. And when they were little, quarter, quarter, nickel, nickel. You know, and then they got older and it became dollar, dollar, quarter, quarter. But now a couple of them are working. And so we talked to them about what would be in keeping with your income. What do you want to give back? And for a young man working his first job, getting less than 20 hours a week, getting less than 10 hours a week, is 10% of his income the desired? That's kind of up to his heart. And whatever he wants to give, I always tell the boys, what you want to give is okay with me, but I don't think you should give 50% of your income. You know, the Lord wants you to give from the heart and not begrudge that or anything. So you should give something to help out. Okay, so no collections will need to be carried out. And then he says, when I arrive, those whom you approve will be provided with letters. What do you think that means? Providing people with letters. Are they varsity? Yeah, I think so. Just so that the Jerusalem Christians know who this is. And I will send these representatives to deliver your gracious gift to Jerusalem. And if it's appropriate for me to go also, they'll go with me. So if it's time for me to go back to Jerusalem, they'll travel with me. Otherwise, they'll find some other way back. But that's what Paul's getting at here. But probably he wants to go back along with them. I will come to you when I have passed through Macedonia, for I am going through Macedonia. Where's Macedonia? Joanne?
Northern
Greece. Very good. Orlin, was that you? Was it Joanne? Okay. Very generous on your birthday to give credit to somebody else. It's Lynn's birthday. Okay. Almost. Friday. What's the date on Friday? 31st of August. All right. July. Sorry. Does she really? Golden birthday for both of you? All right.
I wish.
Platinum. So, okay, sorry, I don't even know what that would mean. Okay. So Paul's going through Macedonia, and he says, perhaps I will have an extended stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. Now, later, in 2 Corinthians, Paul will have to tell them why he changed his plans. These were his plans. And this is kind of a, this is not exactly a detailed itinerary, is it? In fact, it begins with what word? Perhaps. So I don't know if he's going to do it or not, but he kind of wants to have this extended stay with them, maybe spend the winter, but later on 2 Corinthians, he'll tell them why he didn't. But that's 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians. But let's, if you don't mind, because I took the time to do it, let's look at the map and see what Paul's plan was from Troas. Actually, he would be coming from Ephesus, but I made the map from Troas. And if I can get the thing to work, there it goes. I'll do that. So you're following? He's going to go up to Philippi, then over to Thessalonica, and down to Berea, if you remember him at Berea, and then down to either Athens or Corinth or both. So that's the trip Paul's planning on taking. But on foot, mostly on foot, not a quick journey, is it? Not at all. Okay. So Paul continues. And notice, and by the way, what kinds of congregations is he trying to go through? His. Yeah, established congregations, the churches that he himself has been to and worked through. And even, if we even go back all the way back to Troas or Troy, Paul picked up a companion in Troy. Anybody remember or know who that was? Luke. That's where Paul picks up Luke. That's the first, that it's just after that that we start having a section in the book of Acts where it's we. So it looks like Luke got picked up at Troas. I personally have no reason to doubt that Luke was maybe a physician, a Christian physician in Troas. And we're going to have a welcome back Bible study pretty soon on Sunday morning. I don't think it'll be early in August, but later in August, maybe beginning of September, we're going to get going with Sunday morning Bible classes again. I may begin a series, a long series on Luke on Sunday morning. And I might even have to take breaks to let somebody else teach something else for a while and then back and let Luke travel until... Are you going into seventh grade, Jameis? Going into sixth? Okay. So until Jameis is a freshman, we'll be going with Luke Bible class. I think it'll take us a little while. But or however long, maybe 10th. We'll see. I don't know. Okay. I got to do that right. Okay. So up he goes and down he goes. And then we're verse 7. For I do not wish to see you now in passing. I hope to stay with you for a while if the Lord permits. But I will stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a door has opened for me, a great opportunity for action, and there are many adversaries. So a door is an opportunity. And why would Paul tell the Corinthians there are many adversaries in Ephesus? Why bring that up? Well, let me ask this. Pastor Scharf's great strength is socializing, right? Welcoming people, finding new members. One of Pastor Sutton's great strengths is certainly church administration and leadership, okay? So different pastors have different strengths, correct? One of Paul's strengths that he proves in his letters is facing adversaries. Paul was very good at taking what somebody was teaching falsely and countering it with simple scriptural truth. So it was one of his great strengths. And for Paul to say this is telling us they need me down in Ephesus. They have enemies and there's trouble down there and so I should go there. So who should come here to Corinth? If Paul's going to leave, who should he send instead to Corinth? Well, he says, but if Timothy comes, make sure he has no reason to be afraid while he's with you, for he does the work of the Lord as I do. Who's Timothy?
Young companion of Paul.
By this time, Timothy went from a kid Paul picked up in Lystra or Derbe, whichever one it was, which was years ago, from Paul's perspective, almost 10 years ago. Now, Timothy has been trained. How long do we take to train ministers? 8 years. 8 years. My son Peter is about to embark on that with what great language first in his curriculum? Chinese. Yeah, Chinese. But I'm bummed. Yeah. So Peter chose, because you can choose different languages, you know, Latin, German, Spanish, Chinese. Peter had a great friend, a very good friend all through high school from China, and whose name was David, I believe. They were just great, great friends, and built a suit of armor together. I gave it to me for Father's Day. Yeah, so I got that at home. The new policy at MLC, which really helps pastoral candidates, is they don't start two languages in the same year anymore. Some guys used to come to MLC and start three languages in the same year. I got Greek, I got Latin, I got German. Well, Peter finished his German at MVL. And so he wanted to take Chinese, but Chinese is six semesters. And so Professor Balgi, Vice President Balgi, said, you know what? You have seven semesters of Greek coming, but we can overlap a couple of those semesters along about your junior year, which I did too. And you know what? Let's start you with Chinese so that that's done by the time you're a senior. So I threw up my arms and screamed and called the college, but they called me down. Parent, oh, he's a pastor. He knows everything. Well, they showed me, you know, and so, yeah. So anyway, so evidently Timothy had done really well with his German. And so now he's ordained and everything else. Brad? One of our newest members, her name is Ting Ting. Yeah, they just joined us. They've transferred from St. James over to here. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, let's continue here. Something more about Timothy. This is not his first mention in 1 Corinthians. Paul had brought him up way back in chapter 4 when Paul was just wrapping up what he had been saying about factions in the congregation. Some follow Apollos, some follow Paul, some follow Cephas, some say I follow the Lord. And as he's kind of concluding that, he comes to this, and he says, for this reason, this is back in chapter 4, I am sending to you Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Paul defending his life over against his doctrine. Find something where my life contradicts what I've been teaching you. And he goes on to say, some of you have become arrogant as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon. So Paul, again, making promises about his itinerary, but also promising to send Timothy. And then he says, therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace, so that he may come to me, because I am expecting him, and so are the brothers with me. So Timothy's purpose in going to Corinth was, well, maybe I should ask you that. Why was Paul sent after this letter of, you guys got this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, and you know, let's talk about spiritual gifts, let's talk about the Lord's Supper, let's talk about your factions, let's talk about the way you treat each other. Let's talk about the way you treat ministers. And after all of that teaching, he's going to send Timothy. And what's Timothy going to do? Is he going to come and crack the whip with them there, Corinthians? Or what's he going to do with them? I think follow up. Here is a good, solid minister. Paul says, I know I just stirred up the church. You know, TNT kind of, boom, stirred up the church. But let's get a guy in there who will love you, who will follow up, who will be faithful and solid. That's what Timothy is going to do. It might be that Timothy and his counterpart, Titus, were also good at picking out individuals from congregations and saying, you know what, you could lead. Let me train you in this. Because what does Paul do in his letters to these men? He teaches them what the qualifications are for overseers and deacons. And he even says to Titus, the reason I left you on Crete is to place elders and to choose them wisely. So that also seems to be what these young men are good at.
I have a question.
Yes, Mr. Cushing.
Paul mentions he addresses different issues sometimes in the churches. How would it be heard about those issues? Would he have received letters?
We're coming to that. In the second half hour, we're going to get their names. Okay, so it's coming right up. Excellent, excellent question. Let me do one more verse here, and then we'll maybe take our break, or break in the chapter, and then we'll come to that very point. Okay, so he says, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. It was not at all his desire to go now, but he will when he has an opportunity. So remember Apollos and the Corinthians? Apollos had been there. Aquila and Priscilla had met him there, and he was teaching. They had to do a little correcting. But Apollos now is gone, and Apollos doesn't want to come back. Why? Because he has something else going on, an opportunity that he really needs to follow up on. Why do pastors take some calls and return other calls? You know?
They weigh the needs.
The needs of whom?
The congregation. Well, they have two calls.
Two calls. Yeah, I got to weigh the needs of the congregation here and the congregation there. Also, it might be that he has a family. You know, when I was younger, we had a wife and four sons, and the kids were all in school here. Now, that's changing a little bit. You know, I've got one in college, one graduated from college, two of them thinking about moving out and maybe getting their own place. I got three who are, you know, working, and I got one who is, you know, moving into the second year of high school, but I'm beginning to detect that I'm single. So I'm beginning to get the feeling that I'm approaching an empty nest here. So if I were to get a call now, I would look at it differently than I would have, say, 3-4 years ago, 10 years ago. It would be different now, but, you know, I still kind of feel the same, but until you guys kick me out, I want to stay, but, you know, do share your feelings about that with me. And one of the places where we do that here, by the way, is that our staff members have a yearly staff review, performance review of how we're doing. And all of the details of my ministry are printed out. And the entire ministry staff and Mrs. Portner, our bookkeeper, and Mrs. Giefer, our administrative assistant, and the chairman of the board that I'm connected to, all pitch in their opinions on how I'm doing with preaching, teaching, outreaching, working with young people, working with shut-ins, and writing, and so forth. And then what are the details of my call? Am I fulfilling those things? What are my plans for the future? To evaluate how I'm doing and to kind of give me a thumbs up or a, you know, thumb, you know, maybe, you should be on your way out. And And mine, Mr. Kushel, was what, last Thursday, right? I just had mine. So your chance to evaluate me is now 12 months away. So just save that up and submit that. But yeah, but they come up. So Apollos. All right. Any questions this far in the chapter up to verse 12?
You've been listening to Invisible Church, the Bible study podcast from St. Paul's Lutheran Church, New Ulm, Minnesota.